Okay, Darcy,
Hi.
I kind of cut you off. You want to, cause just because it was, client versus self is
Oh
why.
no, that was totally fine. Okay, so let me pull it up. And I know it's not easy to talk about one piece of a big, issue. But I thought maybe you guys could just give me direction.
Screenshot.
Okay, so going through the GI map, she has really pretty good bacteria, normal flora, no parasites, no major issues there. The only one was the staphylococcus, and I just am not familiar with that one. But her and her mom both have it, and they have it bad. So I thought this is a great learning opportunity.
Can you do a screen share?
I have it in my phone in
Oh,
a text message, so I
okay.
don't think I can.
Okay, so on the opportunistic bacteria, what else is this is on the Staphylococcus is in the opportunistic bacteria section, is that right?
Let me flip. Yes, it is.
Okay, is there anything else that's elevated in the opportunistic bacteria section?
It's not very, it's not what, they don't have it marked low or high, but they have a number listed next to the enterococcus.
Yeah, so what you need to do, okay, anything, just the Staphylococcus is flagged, nothing else is flagged.
Nothing else is flagged.
Okay, and then on the opportunistic bacteria, look at the Methanobrevibacter, and then you look at the range there.
Okay.
What is the number in relation to the range?
So the number is 6.007, and
Okay,
the
and the
range
range.
is supposed to be less than 5.
Yeah, so the Methanobrevibacter is also elevated. So she would have an issue, or if it's a she or a he, would have an issue with methane gas production. So that's a nasty that we don't want. So even though the lab hasn't flagged it up, there's almost no amount of methane producing organisms that we actually want to have. We want to have that as low as possible. And then on where it says the autoimmune triggers, what are the what does it look like there? Anything flagged?
So there is nothing flagged, but the Prevotella has a number. It's 1.25, and it's supposed to be less than one.
Okay, so
And
that's
the
elevated as well. Yeah.
Fusobacterium is 1.92. It's supposed to be less than one.
Okay, so it's basic dysbiosis, overgrowth, and she has some of the, you've got to improve the balance of the gut. What about the pancreatic elastase? What is the pancreatic?
It's great. Yeah, it was a
What is
really good
it?
number. It
What is it?
was, let's see here. It is 658.
Wow, that's really high. So
It's high.
she's taking a lot of. Okay, and what about the secretory IgA?
That one is 233. It's low.
Is it flagged as low, or what
It's
is?
yeah, it's flagged as low.
Okay, so
It's
before.
supposed to be between 500 and 2000, and hers is 233.
Okay, so before you can do any kind of removal, you have to work on the gut environment, and you've got to support the mucosal barrier.
Okay.
And you need to increase the secretory IgA. So the nutrients that help improve secretory IgA, fiber, a probiotic called Saccharomyces boulardii, vitamin A is really important. So you have to think of what's important for the gut lining. So vitamin A, and the GI map doesn't give information on short chain fatty acids, but I could imagine that her short chain fatty acids maybe on the lower side. And what helps improve that is fiber. Polyphenols, which are the colorful, that's colors coming from veggies and fruits, things like resveratrol, quercetin, these are also polyphenols. Vitamin D is very important, so her vitamin D status and actual fat soluble vitamin status. What is her steatocrit on the GI map?
It is, it says DL.
Okay, so that could be. either she has low, a diet that's deficient in fat. If it was high, she'd be fat malabsorbing, but it shouldn't also be that low. So you got to pay attention, do a diet history and see how much fat she has in her diet. And then I would suggest that maybe she has issues with fat soluble vitamins. So vitamin A is, you know, vitamin A is important for the mucosal lining, but perhaps she's not absorbing it. So you make sure that she gets drops. So Claire Labs has drops, and Seeking Health has drops. Then the vitamin D3, K2 would be important. And fiber is really important. So if she can't tolerate a lot of carbs, you could say, you know, a fiber supplement like acacia fiber.
Okay. Okay, good. Oh, good. Well, that's very confirming because that's kind of the track we were on with, we had just started with her. She does have some blood sugar issues. And so she'll eat, she's eating really good, clean, three clean green meals with protein added a day. And she's getting gassy and bloated and she feels like she's starving. So I don't know if she has much fat or added, and I'll check on her vitamin. So.
And the bifidus, if you look at her bifidus, her bifidum bacteria, so that's an also important probiotic to add in. Most people can tolerate it, but everything you add in, you've got to add in slowly. Like we said in the last call, go low and slow. But at first you need to work on the gut environment.
Okay.
So that's addressing the, you know, the mucosal barrier. And then slippery foods are important, or things like slippery elm. So all those slippery things, slippery elm, marshmallow, that's really good. A combination product is often tolerated, but maybe not tolerated, is GI Revive by Designs for Health. Yep. But if you don't want a combination, that has everything in it, including zinc carnosine and glutamine. But if you don't want a combination product, there's a product that has just glutamine and zinc carnosine. It's called Rescue, and Rescue with a Z, with a Z. And you can get that on Amazon.
Okay, so helpful. I love it.
I don't buy any supplements from Amazon.
Well, I mean, it's you could get it directly from the manufacturer, but
that's what I would do.
Yeah.
Cabbage soup can be very healing to the
stomach. Absolutely.
Or cabbage juice. The cabbage is very healing.
It's wonderful. It's full of glutamine.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. I do think she has something going on with her bile, because she does seem to have some, like when she eats beets, it really just helps everything move and she just feels better. But she doesn't, you know, who wants to eat beets every day?
Does she have constipation? I love beets too.
She can get beetroot powder.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
And she could like, and I don't care if you get the, even a capsule, you can open and sprinkle some out and stick the capsule back together.
Yeah, and she could put that in her smoothie. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
And then to the we were talking about the methane. You know, is that something that we need to consider down the road as SIBO?
It doesn't have to be SIBO. It could be LIBO, which is large intestine bacterial overgrowth. And so it's just an overgrowth thing, and it needs to be looked at. I would work on our gut environment, and sometimes the good guys start to outnumber the bad guys. And then if you do a retest and it's still high, then maybe you consider a remove then, you know.
Great. Yeah. Okay, great. That's just what I needed. Thank you guys.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Darcy. We don't have any hands up. So anybody? Oh, Michelle. Now I see Michelle's hand.
So when we want to get started with supplements, should, is there a particular place to look at where we might get like a practitioner discount or something?
You should have access to Dr. Reed Marie's Dr. Supplement Store, her account, and you can get a discount through there.
So that's a great place to start. Okay.
Perfect. It's all going to be quality lines. Yeah. You're welcome. Whoa. Okay. I think Darcy's back.
I am, but only if someone else doesn't have.
You're the only hand I see. So.
Okay. Well, my other question is on diabetes. Just good foods that are realistic for a teenage boy to eat while getting more insulin sensitive and regulating his blood sugar.
What's he eat now?
He eats sausage and eggs. He was loving waffles with peanut butter, and that was doing things, so we've eliminated that. Sometimes smoothies, but he just gags them down. And scrambled eggs, we have our own chickens. That's about it. Yeah. I know, they're so fun. And their eggs, that the yolks are like orange. I mean, lunch, we'll do just mostly a vegetable protein. You know, I'll make a soup or a sheet pan with vegetables and meat. And he's a pretty good eater for that stuff, but like he'll get hungry and he can't find something that's not sugary. And so of course, then he eats whatever is in front of him.
So if he's going to eat something sugar, he needs to offset it with a protein or a fat. So if he really wants an apple, fine, have some nut butter with it. And that's a pretty normal combination. Many people eat nut butter and an apple or a pear. Or, yeah, I'm going to say it. If you guys eat dairy, have some cheese with the apple. Okay. Because then he can still enjoy the sweet. Oh. But that fat, that protein is going to mitigate that spike. Mm-hmm. He's what, like 13, 14?
He's 13, yeah.
Okay, so he's also in a growth spurt.
He is, and he's so hungry.
Yeah, I had a friend, I think there was four of them in the family. One of them was a growing teenager, and she went through like 5 dozen eggs a week because mm-hmm. He was gluten-free and a bunch of other stuff. So then there's the, where's your son getting the sweet foods? Is it in the house? Is he going out and buying it himself? Because if it's in the house, that's on you.
I told him, I'm like, we can't buy any more juice because he can't regulate it. And I can't buy any cookies. I found these gluten-free, dairy-free, nut-free, soy-free, who knows what's holding them together kind of cookies. But he can't just have one. He'll like eat the whole box. So I'm like, I'm sorry, we can't buy that anymore. But he now knows how to make his own cookie dough. so I'm like, okay.
I used to work with a woman and theirs wasn't. It wasn't a health thing. It was a money thing. But they would buy the container, of course, and it wasn't going to be good cookies like you get, but they would parcel them out. You know, it was like each day at lunch, they each would have like 4 cookies in the little container. And it was all, they were very anal about money. It was very bizarre. But if he just has to have that, then you have to I'd hate to say this, but I'd hide the ones. I'd like put a container out. That's all you get, and I'd hide the rest. Because he's eating, he's growing, he needs lots of food. How active is he? What's his water like?
I would say he's inconsistent with water. Some days he's great and some days he forgets. But that's a good reminder.
Yeah. Because I would just be really honest with him. You know, we don't want you going into the land of diabetes. And if he wants to be scared, I'll talk to him. I can scare him about diabetes. I know I can. And explain to him that just by drinking the water, that's going to start to bring those numbers down and just turn him around. That's like one of the simplest things that he can do. I'm not above bribery. You know, maybe you have to drink this much water today. And if you do that tomorrow, you can have a cookie or a treat, something. Because one or two cookies is not going to throw him off. Mm-hmm. But it's also about you just, and then eventually he's going to not want them because he's going to see the difference that being healthy, eating better, work. So kind of crowd out the bad. You know, you can't have the whole package of cookies, but for now maybe we do 4 a day, but you have to have some kind of a good fat with it. You have to have some avocado with it, whatever kind of good fat he'll eat, not ice cream. Yeah. Unless you're making it the Rita Marie way.
Yeah. Do you have any more breakfast ideas, stuff that you guys make that you like?
We don't eat breakfast. We're not hungry, so we don't eat it. If I do, it's going to be eggs. But you know what? It doesn't have to be a breakfast food. If you had chicken for dinner, chicken and veggies, you can have that for breakfast too. We've got a real narrow definition of what breakfast foods are, and it's beyond waffles, cereals, pancakes, and eggs. Anything is a breakfast food.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, not the cookies, but you know, healthy food. Any healthy meal you make can also, it might be a bowl of soup. If he says, if it's a cold day and he wanted soup, I'll have it.
Yeah. And we do that. Like I'll make a big pot of shredded chicken and say, here, make some tacos. Yeah. Just crazy. And he'll do 12. I mean, he's so hungry.
Yeah, because he's at that stage. So right now, yeah. And I assume your burritos are gluten-free as well.
Yeah, we're using the spinach or the egg wrap ones. Yeah.
Okay. Just watch, like if you're here, we have a company called Siete, and I know they sell around the country now. They're almond flour burritos are amazing, but they are high in carbs. Again, it goes back to just because it says gluten-free doesn't mean it doesn't have a lot of carbs. So you would have to be real careful.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Because I do, sometimes we do lettuce wraps. So I might just need to go back to lettuce wraps for a while.
Yeah. And if he has that big carb load, get out and move, son. Go mow the yard. Go pick up chicken eggs. Teach him that movement and water will help bring those numbers back down. Are you monitoring at all anyway?
Well, he hates getting his fingers pricked, just like, so I think I'm going to try to find the information on getting the Libre, paying for that big, you know, whatever package deal that Dr. Reed, it's somewhere in my notes.
Levels. Yeah. I want to look into them too. So
yeah, because I think
that would be cool. Because he could just scan it on his phone and be like, oh, wow. And then he'd see what those cookies are doing to him.
Yes.
What that pie, that cake, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. That gives me good. Thank you, guys.
Barbara's asking, have you tried coconut tortillas? So I've tried the coconut wraps. Have you?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah,
that's really a good idea. Yeah, I haven't tried them. You know, when you kind of go and say, this is probably good, but what if it's really gross? I just spent $7 on it.
To make little desserts, like make my own Nutella out of cashews and with, you know, cocoa powder and sweetener of choice, and just spread it thinly and then roll that baby up and cut it into little pieces. And I feel like I'm having a big treat.
Do you have a brand that you like?
I use Thrive Market. Because I don't live near a big city. It would take me an hour to an hour and a half to get to a decent grocery store like a Whole Foods.
Yep.
And I find that Thrive Market, their prices are as good, if not better sometimes, than what I can find at the grocery store.
Okay. And if you're buying it at a store, Darcy, and it's gross, you take it back and you get a refund. I do it all the time.
Yeah. Also
all
with
the time.
Yeah.
Because it is a lot of money.
And yeah, and Barbara's right. I've called Thrive and been like, this is messed up. This is bad. And I either get a credit or a replacement. So yeah, just speak up. Get your mind back.
Thrive and Vitacost. Vitacost also has coconut wraps and things. I can even order from Vitacost in Europe, and I do.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Good. Thank you, Barbara. Okay. Michelle's back.
Yeah. So sorry if I missed some of what you were all talking about because I had a kid call, but I do have a teenager. I liked what you were saying about if they're going to have sugar, have them do it with a protein, as well as movement, exercise, movement and water. But if I've got specifically, do you have like a specific protein in mind that you pair? Like, do you try to I don't know, like if they're at school and they have something, you know, she drives, there's plenty of things that she can buy when I'm not around, that they could, I mean, could they have a protein bar with, but those have a lot of sugar. I mean,
a lot of sugar in carbs.
Yeah.
You can find protein bars that have lower carb counts, lower sugar, but it takes a long time to stand there and read the things. Like I was, and maybe you missed this part, an apple and nut butter is fine. It's either a good protein or a good fat, because that
okay, so a nut butter fat, do it.
Yeah, will slow down the spike. If I'm just eating that apple, all that sugar's rushing in, and there goes my blood sugar. If I've got a good protein or a fat going in, it's going to slow it down. When I was in my first program of my collection, for those of you that heard me admit that I'm a junkie, program junkie, sugar is, think about when you're building a fire, okay? Sugar's kindling. It goes up fast. It goes way up high fast. But if I want to sustain that fire, if I want to keep that fire going, I'm going to put a big log on it. The logs are our proteins and our fats, okay? So you need those to keep, instead of going up and crashing back down, you're going to go up and sustain, okay? That's what we want. And then we're feeling hungry when we go up and then crash back down. So you'll be satiated longer as well.
Okay. Good. And then for the teenagers that have like a real adversity to bitterness of vegetables, as you're slowly working them in, is there a good kind of just foundational vitamin supplement just to kind of, as their palate is starting to slowly, and it seems to be really slowly adapting?
I used to make, it was walnut pate, and my freaky little child absolutely loved it, which was weird because she wouldn't eat vegetables.
Walnut pate?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I started sneaking all kinds of other veggies in there because she would eat it. So, I'm not above, like I said, I'm not totally above bribery, and I'm not really adverse to sneaking foods in them.
Yeah, make dips. Dips are really good, you know.
Yeah, and the walnut pate is like a dip. You wouldn't just eat it straight.
Yeah, so that's great. That's a great tip. And, you know, you could add, you know, anything that you can make a dip, then it won't look like a veggie, but you get all the goodness of a veggie, and you can dip celery into it or whatever healthy.
What's the base though? Do you use like a nut cream or an alternative for the dip? What do you use as the base?
Well, a lot of them are nuts. Dr. Rita Marie has a lot of tasty dips.
Okay, a nut dip, okay.
Yeah, she has lots of dip ideas.
Okay, I like that.
Or turn it into a sauce.
Yeah.
You know, you could do a pesto sauce on stuff. They don't need to know they're eating a pile of basil. I mean, they don't. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right. Annette, when you say the pate, is it essentially a dip with the nut base or?
It was, and looking back, I'm like, well, that maybe not have been the best options. It had, and don't ask me, do not ask me measurements because I just would eyeball it. It was a walnut base. It had miso. We put red pepper in it. Not green. Green makes it weird. Purple onion. There was either, we usually put cilantro in it. There's some lemon juice in it. And it just goes in the food processor. But then I learned I could add other things. Like, she never knew there were carrots in there. Let's stick carrots in there.
Yeah, Barbara just said something about zucchini, steaming zucchini and using.
Yeah. Get creative.
Okay, thank you.
I would just Google like nut dips or go look at Dr. Reed Marie's recipes like Lisa said. You're welcome. Okay.
Yeah, I think Dr. Rita Marie called it hummus. Like she has a broccoli hummus, but I took that recipe and used zucchini. You can peel it if the green's a problem. And my grandkids have no idea what's in there.
Do not put zucchini in the walnut pate recipe. It's weird.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I've had some failures, but just try it.
The avocado chocolate pudding. Hey kids, we're having mousse tonight. They don't need to know it's an avocado with cacao powder.
Right.
That might work for you too, Darcy.
Which area of the recipes are the dips and whatnot, like that broccoli based item?
I think it was Sweet Spot.
Yeah, Sweet Spot has lots of dips and pate ideas. And
okay, great.
Yeah.
Once you get a couple down that you're comfortable with, you're going to start adding all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. You just got to get comfortable with a couple.
Okay, I like it.
And sometimes your failures at a dip become a sauce on something else. Yeah,
exactly. Right.
Hey guys, there's a whole bunch of smoothies that you can do and just, you know, make it very experiential in the mornings. And especially if you could put, to keep the blood sugars down, is use the allspice or the cinnamon and make some breakfast bowls. There's a whole lot of stuff. Isn't there also a email or ebook that is a breakfast
book?
Yes. And take a little bit of that and then start playing with it. If they start finding that, oh yeah, the cacao can really make a difference on what something that was savory, it's sweet, but it doesn't hurt you. And so I do smoothies or slushies all the time, every morning, just about, to my grandson. And he's picky, but he is loving stuff. And I, you know, put his name on it as this has been approved. So do a lot of experiences so that they can say, oh, well, what kind of taste do you want today? Do you want banana? Do you want vanilla? There's a whole lot of stuff that the kids really like if you let them say, oh, what do you want to put in it?
Yeah, I made hot breakfast cereal when my blood sugar at the very beginning several years ago, and I still eat it, especially in the wintertime. We have cold winters here, but it was a tablespoon of chia, flax, sunflower seeds, and really whatever else you can put in there, whatever kind of nut or whatever. I was using sesame from time to time. And then you just add hot water to it until it gets as thick as you want it to be. And you can make it chunkier if you want to. And I would often use the spices, the cinnamon or the allspice or, you know, whatever clove, whatever you liked, and throw. And I was eating like one quarter of an apple because of my blood sugar issues. And the grandkids just started calling it Nana's breakfast porridge and would ask for it. They would see me eating it, and there was nothing in it basically but nuts and seeds.
Darcy, also research fat bombs.
Yeah. Fat bombs, and you can also Google grainless cereal or grainless muesli, like Barbara just said.
You can actually let your son make his own fat bombs.
Yeah, I think he would like that. That'd be good.
You know, you pick the basic ingredients. Here's your options. Make them. Anybody else? We still have plenty of time.
Did everybody attend Shine this weekend?
Yes.
Yes. What was your favorite bit?
I don't know. I'm in the back end. I miss most of it.
I've reached a plateau, and it just gave me some ideas of how to go forward. Recently, I've realized, and I've seen some actual published research that says stevia, particularly if it's processed stevia, not the raw, can cause insulin resistance. And I used stevia to get to where I am, maybe overused it. So I'm transitioning to less, you know, using fruit, tiny, tiny bits, because I'm still tiny, tiny bits of fruit to get the sweetening from that. But the whole deal with the gut and going back and looking at my genetics again to see what SNPs I have, and I'm really interested in the new test that was presented to see what that will show. And just, you know, it's kind of like peeling that onion. So it's a couple steps forward for me and another step back. And then what do I need to do to get rid of those spikes? Because I can't heal my pancreas until I get rid of those. So just optimism and hope for me.
Keep going. That's great. Sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody else? Or are we all still brain dead from the weekend?
Pretty brain dead from it. But what I liked was always about Shine is the variety of information. It's not just, you know, something about a health topic, it's the application of that. And, you know, and then just bringing in all you guys that have been around for such a long time, it was great to see how everybody had evolved into such masters of being in school for all these years. I really enjoyed everybody's, and even the testimonies that, I don't know if anybody heard them, if you came back during a break, you could hear everybody's testimony of how Dr. Rita Marie and the schools changed their life. And it helped me realize that this is not only a health journey, but it's really more about personal development, because you change in so many ways.
True.
And I really liked, I actually wrote it down what Summer said, clarity is the best drug. And that's really true in all our conversations and everything that we do. And when you communicate, clarity is so important. And working with our clients, they need to be straightforward with us about what's really going on. And we need to be straightforward about what we're doing and what we expect. Mm-hmm. And I won the grand prize. So I'm excited.
I actually, the woman that won it first that wasn't there, I actually, but she's like in Australia, so I wasn't real surprised she wasn't there. She's a neat woman.
Well, I actually won twice. I won on Saturday, but then I had left the room for a couple of minutes, and then when I got back, it was too late. And then the girl, Laura, I think was her name, on Sunday, she really didn't want the hunger thing. And Kia had a great solution. She just said, why don't you take the Stratagene? And then my name was drawn and I won the Heal Your Hunger, which is, I'm really excited about working with Tricia.
Yeah, that'll be a good course.
Especially when you're an emotional eater, that helps.
Well, and Martha, I did her program, and it truly is, I don't know what level she's bringing you in at, but it truly is money-wise the total grand prize. But it also brings, you know, in such an important point, which she brought up, which was the emotional eating. And I was going to mention that because with the discussion that we've been having about, you know, how to feed our kids and our teenagers, and especially teenagers that are really hungry. and I agreed with everything that was said. And what kept popping in my mind was when that the importance of eating slow, because so many people eat fast, and I've seen teenagers eat really fast. And then their brain is not even getting the message that they're eating. You eat, you know, five things before they even know. And it really, you know, this is a lifestyle. This is something that, you know, we're doing because we want to improve our health, but it's also changing our very perspective on food in general for the rest of our lives. And so everybody's coming in at a, you know, at a different place, but emotions, and this is what you'll learn from Tricia, is never about the food. It's always about emotions. So, you know, I just think it's very important. I'm glad that she was there again and spoke to us, because I think it's really important that, you know, we keep working on that emotional piece for ourselves and also help our clients to do that. And these, you know, slow down and chew the food and really taste it, and, you know, can make a big difference in how much you truly need to eat.
And I think you get fuller faster when you chew your food. But I'll sit at a table and I could see people, it's like, so you're shoveling. You're shoveling your food. Eat like a bird. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a good point. I just went through something with Easter. I got ditched from my friends. They didn't invite me to eat. They said, well, we don't want to invite you because there's nothing you'll be able to eat at our house. So I guess I've really influenced the community that I'm in, that they've like learned to not ask me to come over. And I said, well, why don't you tell me what's on your menu? And it was like ham and ham with rice and macaroni and cheese. And then they said, green beans. And I said, well, I can eat green beans and I can bring something. And they said, you won't want to eat our green beans because it's cooked with bacon fat. So we're kind of learning the crocodiles learning to live with the people that try. And I'm hoping that emotional class with Tricia will help me even get better at it for my own sake. But I was proud that I could say, no, I'm not coming even to eat your green beans. And they were saying, well, we can't have you because you're not going to be happy here.
I always take my own food. I always take my own food.
Well, they said, we don't even want you to bring food because it's just, you know, I guess it was a sore piece for them that I eat so different.
Okay, I just saw Michelle had her hand up and now it's gone. Michelle?
Yeah, I'm back in. Okay. So what I wanted, what I really liked about Shine was like the, you know, the juxtaposition between like basic foundational habits, you know, setting the groundwork, but also the new technology that's coming along. So like bringing those together is really exciting to me. So then the other question I had was, when I did some genetics, my detoxification pathways, I'm missing certain SNPs along the way there, and just getting, trying to decide what to start with in regard to the supplementation, between, like, I'm missing two leading up to glutathione, and deciding where in the cascade I need to.
Okay, so I'm just going to stop you there for a second. Mm-hmm. Just because you have the gene SNP for something doesn't mean that it's active. So the better thing to do to figure out if the pathway needs support, so would be to do a Nutrival or a Metabolomics from Genova. And then you can look there, and because the pathway that produces glutathione is transsulfuration, and if you have some gene SNPs there or impairments there, you just want to know, are they active or not? And the best way, you could do a metabolomics test if it's just urine. Then the bigger version of that is Nutrival, and also Genova has a methylation panel. which would do the whole, it's also, it's blood. So you have to find a place to take. And so you can have a look at that. So that, you know, just because you have the impairment doesn't mean you have to supplement for it, is what I'm trying to say. That's a, that's kind of like not the, that's not the way we not want it. You want to support the pathway and not the gene SNPs. You want to look at what's going on in the pathway. And then it may be that you need supplementation. But like you have to see what's going on with your CBS. You want to see what's going on with your B6. And you want to see if transsulfuration is going towards glutathione or is it going towards taurine? You know, so that you can measure all that in the metabolomics and in the methylation panel.
Great, thank you. That's both the metabolomics is Genova too.
Yeah, they're all, it's all Genova. I don't work for Genova. I just recommend them a lot.
But they all, yeah, that's helpful. See, that's perfect. That's exactly where I needed to go because I was going the wrong direction. Thank you.
Yeah. But it's good to know your gene SNPs. You just need to validate the gene SNP. You need to see, you know, with a test result, you know, is it active or not? And then you can take action.
Great.
Darcy has her hand up.
Okay, so pick your brain, unless someone else has something. I wanted to ask about my daughter has ADD, and she's been on a stimulant, and it really does work for her in that it just turns her brain on. And she's able to focus really well. She doesn't have attention issues just as much as, she isn't like hyper. She just needs help focusing. And so I have been trying to talk to her doctor about different, you know, getting her off. What can we do? She's in college. She needs something. And what I'm finding is they don't, of course, have any answers. I'm not sure why I was surprised, but I'm surprised. And they just want to switch her to a different stimulant. So then when I was asking about amino acids and looking down the pathways to see where she needs support, they of course don't know how to do any of that. And I'm still learning.
Do a metabolomics or a NutriVal. Because that's, you look at all her amino acids and you look at her neurotransmitters and all that.
And do I need to go through the doctor to do that? Can I just do that on the
direct labs?
Direct lab, yeah.
And the difference between the NutriVal and the metabolomics is the NutriVal has a blood draw, and then it looks at fatty acid balance, and it also looks at the toxic elements, and then so heavy metals and things like that, and then. And then some of the vitamins, you know, RBC, magnesium, zinc, copper, manganese, I don't know what else, maybe five or six, CoQ10. The metabolomics is just the urine portion. So it's organic and amino acids. That's, and then you can do an add-on for the toxic elements. So if you want to look at any, you know, toxic elements, heavy metals, you can add it on. So it just depends if you can get a blood draw or not. The cost, the difference in price is not that big between the metabolomics and the NutriVal. It's only like $100, $120 difference.
Okay.
Price.
Darcy, what are you certified in?
Occupational therapy.
Okay. Go, when you go to Direct Labs, see if you can open a practitioner account.
Okay.
I did. And it's discounted somewhat.
I wondered. Okay. I do suspect that she's got vitamin issues because everything that I keep looking and researching for her goes back to not getting enough zinc and Bs. And that would be a good thing to check. And the NutriVal would cover that portion.
Yeah, it would. It would give you her functional need for the B vitamins, which is really important. And they'll give you, you can infer from that what's going on in the methylation pathways. You can look at neurotransmitters. You can look indirectly at gut health, inflammation. It's really important. You know, but the amino acids are really important because it gives you an idea about absorption and also about the different pathways and detoxification, etc. I mean, for example, glycine is there. Glycine is key for detoxification, you know, so you just want to see how our glycine levels are, etc.
Yeah. Okay. Yay. I got all kinds of things on my to-do list.
We got Michelle popping back.
Sorry, I'm popping back in. So I'm new and I'm really fired up about all this. So I've got a 93-year-old mother with dementia. And I'm wondering at this point, is there something that I can still do, like her epigenetics are as they've been, and I've got some caregivers that I can guide, although reluctantly, because she may not have, her brain might have taken a hit, but they physically are struggling with diabetes and arthritis. One had a stroke in her 50s. So I just would like to enhance their lives somehow, in some way. And I don't want to look back at my 93-year-old mother and think that I didn't try as hard as I could to make a difference.
Who feeds her?
The who woman who's a diabetic with arthritis, with rheumatoid. Lupus.
How close is your mom to you?
Geographically?
Yeah.
Within an hour.
When my daughter was in the hospital, except for the first meal, I made every meal and brought it in, or we had someone bring it to us. Just taking over her food. And I'm not saying you have to physically go cook, but she's close enough that you might be able to at least make a few meals a week for them, take healthier base ingredients for them to cook from. That might be a place I would start at. And you, it can be pitched to the caretaker as, I just want to help you out and take some of the load off. You don't have to say, I want my mom to eat better.
So for dementia, you know, blood sugar balance is very important. So we always talk about Alzheimer's as type 3 diabetes, right? Right. And then the other thing is essential fatty acid balance. So having enough omega-3s is really important. And then having plenty of antioxidants. That means what? Fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds, lots of color. There are, in the States, there are lots of meal services that you could, I don't know what the budgets are and things like that, but buy
ingredients. The paleo lady, Diane something, she has a thing called Balanced Bites. Mm-hmm. And it's like paleo keto stuff, and you can have it delivered. So I Google meal. Yeah, she has a meal service and she delivers. I don't know how far, what her area is, but I know she just got that going.
You could just Google what, you know, meal delivery. And I just heard, I was listening to a podcast that was in the US, and I think Martha Stewart even has ingredients. I think she doesn't send the meals, but the ingredients to make the meals. So you might look at that as well, sort of more gourmet style, but.
There's a number of those here. There's like HelloFresh. Yeah. And I forget which ones have the clean options, but a number of them do.
Yes, you could Google it, and just to make it easier, either the ingredients or the actual meals. But then in terms of the dietary pattern that's going to support her health, it would be blood sugar balance and fat balance and having plenty of antioxidants.
Okay, omega-3s and, wait, blood sugar, omega-3s, and what was the last thing?
Antioxidants, plenty of antioxidants.
Right. Antioxidant. I think the other thing I'm running into is it's a cultural thing. They're very emotionally attached to a certain taste, and that's how they show love, is to, you know, feed her with these foods that are very emotionally
comforting.
Yes, comfort food. Yes, so it's coming from a good place,
but probably not good for her dementia.
Correct. I actually ordered them all Freestyle Libres, and they just haven't gotten to it quite yet. But I could maybe push that along. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The how do you spell Nutreval?
Nutreval.
Oh,
Nutreval.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Annette, did you have a thought?
No, I was going to say, if you got them to actually wear the Libre, they could see. Like, I stink today. I'm all red.
Right. What do you do for those people that don't, that aren't so left brain? Like, they really don't want to see the numbers. They think like, that they're scared of the numbers.
They don't want to know the truth.
So when I work with people, like there was he was a 4-month-old Lisa. His blood sugar was bad. It was, you know, it was 180, 200. And he got the Libre, and on one of our calls on Zoom, he put it on right there with me. I walked him through the steps, not that it's that hard, but we did it together. And he goes, so what's your range set at? I said, you can't have my range. I said, you shouldn't start at my range, mm-hmm. because my range is set at the lowest I can get it is 80 to 110. I said, and you're running at least at 180. How discouraged are you going to be when everything you see is a red line? He was right. Like, oh, so I will, which is what I have right now, a big red line. I don't think it's accurate. So we started his settings higher, and that way he didn't go, oh, this is awful. I'm not doing this. This is stupid. It doesn't work. As he started adjusting his food, his movement, his water, and his numbers started coming down, we started moving his range down. So that, yes, he was improving. He was getting a lot better, but it still wasn't all red and ugly. Now he's down to like my range. He's like 80, 120, somewhere in there. And he's happy. He's doing really well. He's dropped his A1C a lot. So I would start the settings higher.
Like whereabouts?
It would depend on what they're at now.
Yeah. So pick where they are and give them a comfortable.
Yeah, because I met him where he was at. 180 yeah. to 200 is way too high, mm-hmm. but that's where he was. But I knew from what he ate, there were times he was spiking to 220, 230, maybe mm-hmm. beyond. So he would still see that ridiculous high number in red, but as long as he was eating right most of the time and sticking in that 180 to 200, it was giving him the encouragement of, you know what, I can do this. This is a good thing.
Right.
And that worked really well for him. And he would be so proud. Hey, I reduced my goals. I'm cool. So, and he was a really cranky old man.
Did you put the low to 80 as well, or did you?
Eventually he got to 80. 80 is as low as you can go. I'd actually like my low at 70, but I can't take it that low. And right now, yes, I'm hungry, so I know my number's low. I don't think I'm 61. I think they run. I know for Reed and Reed, they run high. I have more run low than run high.
So for your client who was running higher, because hypoglycemia is harder to tolerate.
People that are high and have been there for a really long time get used to it. That feels normal. So like if you have someone who's a diabetic, a type 1, and let's say they're used to being in 300 to 400, you can't all of a sudden go, okay, so we're gonna change this, we're gonna do that, you're gonna get a better handle on your insulin injections, and next week we're gonna have you down to 100. You can't do that because they've gotten so used to what high feels like. If you bring them down to a good number, they feel really poorly. So you can probably kind of guess where they're at. If you can't, or maybe make a game of it. Come here, let's all poke our fingers and see what we are after lunch, you know. But I would kind of meet them where they're at and start them there.
Right, I'm just wondering what to set their low to be, 120?
Okay, for him, like I said, he was ranging between, because he was checking. So we knew a lot of the times he was 180 to 200. So that's what I put as his, I put 180 as his low.
Oh, okay. He never felt like, oh, now I've been in the red for so long. What do I?
For yeah. him, it felt normal. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if I had dropped him to my range in a week, that man was going to feel really sick because he got used to what high felt like. He didn't realize that high wasn't normal. Have you ever eaten, this is what before I knew what was going on with blood sugar, I know what high and low feels like for me. So when my daughter was in the hospital, friends of mine brought us food from P.F. Chang's. We got the gluten-free, we got the veggies, we did the brown rice, not the white rice. She spiked from 200 to 400 just from that meal. And I realized that I was feeling a little spacey and out of it. And I was like, wait, all those other times I ate that Chinese food from P.F. Chang's, it made me feel that way too. So I now know for me, that's a high. That was a bad high.
Yeah.
But a lot of people that are used to running high just don't know what normal feels like anymore.
Right, right. I was looking at this, I think it was the sweet spot, and there was mention about, it seemed to be encouraging like little bursts of 30 seconds to 1 minute high aerobic activity throughout the day. Is anyone familiar with?
Yeah, but that? You need to, again, you can't take someone that's sedentary and tell them to go jump on the rebounder for a minute. They've got to start slow and build up. In your mom's case, I might be concerned of what the physical activity is because you don't want her to fall and break a hip.
Oh, right, right, for sure. No, I was thinking for myself. I shifted gears.
Yeah, I was like, no. They work, start low and slow with everything. But like I did work with a woman where the burst made her worse.
Oh, okay.
There are some people it's worse. And do know when you first start any kind of exercise, your blood sugar will originally go up, but then it should come right back down.
I guess that's helpful. And I was looking for, you know, just practical things that people do like for 30 seconds or a minute real quick, like, you know, when they're.
You can stand up and walk in place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's all it takes.
Squats, sit-ups.
Well, okay. I was just thinking for something like, okay, if you're, I don't know, if you're out and about somewhere where it seems like, you know. Well,
if you're out walking, just start walking faster.
Just do it, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, yes, and the squats and the, a little bit of, your own body weight resistance is a good idea too.
And like I challenge my son to do push-ups. So that's his thing, you know, probably 13-year-old boy related, but if he's sitting and he did sneak a whole box of cookies, then he'll do push-ups.
Yeah.
And it works for him.
Okay.
Anytime something to remember with him, it's the long muscles in the legs. That if that's trained muscle, glucose goes in with very little insulin. So running would also be really good for him. Something that's engaged, swimming, something that engages those long muscles in the leg.
Great.
Anything else? We've got 30 minutes. Or we can go and Lisa can get to bed, but Jill's waving at me. Yes, Jill.
So for a non-diabetic person that may have some other symptoms, like I have a client, she had a brain injury. She has a nutritionist and a chiropractor that works with her. And I've basically been doing some energy work with her, but you know, I've known for quite a long time that she has blood sugar issues. She's convinced she doesn't, and she's not diabetic, doesn't have any of the blood sugar labels. So I've been, you know, seeking to understand how I can present this idea, not only to her, but other people, the importance of keeping, you know, a low low range for the blood sugar, because everyone would say, well, of course your blood sugar goes up if you eat, but it always comes back down. So no big deal, right? But we know over time that it's a big deal.
Yeah.
So what do you say to people that, you know, how do you help them understand?
This guy that I was talking about that I coached in a program, I taught him what I learned from Rita Marie. When you hit 100, when your blood sugar hits 100, you start to you can do damage to your beta cells in your pancreas. That's what makes the insulin. If I wipe out my beta cells, I'm not making insulin. I'm a type 1. When you hit 120, you can start doing eye damage. You know, and if they keep it up, they might go blind. And at 140, you start having nerve damage. So do you want those things? Who wants to go blind? Who wants to like get neuropathy in their feet? So I taught him Ben, and he wrote, Dr. Rita Marie and I a couple of weeks ago, and he put the note in there, Net, I'm still working on Ben. I still remember it. Thank you. Because it's beta cells, eyes, and nerves. So, you know, start talking to her about the damage she might be causing. And with a head injury, I'm assuming it's TBI.
Yeah.
My ex did that too. I learned so much from him. That can also affect, one of the things it can do is affect the inability to regulate the blood sugar.
Think that's what's happening, because her chiropractor and nutritionist have both said, well, it's okay to eat every 3 hours and eat this brown rice. So I think she eats way too much brown rice, because then she ends up with energy issues, you know, and kind of fuzzy. And she's trying to figure out what's going on. And
I would challenge her to go a couple of days without rice and see if she's eating that much of it.
I think she's eating, you know, I don't know how much, but a little bit every meal.
You need to get into her food. Find out, yeah. You know, get a food diary if she'll do it. And then get in and go, you know, you could do this instead. And if she's going to do the rice, if she's just like adamant for now, she's not giving it up, then she needs to properly soak it and sprout it.
So like soak the night before and sprout it before cooking, and then before cook cooking. It, you mean?
Yeah.
How long do you sprout it?
Back when I made rice, and it's been a long time, I would soak my rice for easily 24 hours. If I was in a hurry, it might get 8 hours, because that's going to break down some of the outside of the rice, the hull, and make it easier to digest. And I didn't do white at all. I just only did brown. The last time I cooked brown rice was probably about a year ago, because Samantha had a low, we couldn't get up, and we were just going to give it to her to get her back into normal range. So it's here, but I just didn't make it. But yeah, you can go to, if you go to, and I know you're basically plant-based, but if you go to Weston A. Price, mm-hmm. there's lots of information on soaking grains.
Okay, because
you can even add whey. Adding some whey to the water will help too.
Okay. All right. So the you actually let it sprout and come like you
it didn't eat. Always sprout. It didn't always sprout, but at least if I soaked it for 24 hours, we didn't get the digestive issues. But we weren't measuring blood sugar back then, so I can't tell you if it made a difference on our blood sugar. That's why I was like, if she's going to eat it, at least prepare it properly.
You can get she wants a simple answer to her energy, and I don't believe there's a simple answer.
If she's carb loading at night, and if she's eating that rice all the time, then she's going to have energy, you know? I had a mom come to me once, and she's like, my kid's wide awake at night, how do I make her sleep? I give her a vitamin. I give her one in the morning, one at night. I'm like, what's in the vitamins? And she showed me the bottle. I'm like, well, you're giving your kid B vitamins at bedtime. Of course she's not sleeping.
Yeah. Jill, you can get the sprouted grains. You can get them at Vitacost. I forgot the brand, but it has all the ancient grains, and they're sprouted, and they also have sprouted Well, they have sprouted seeds, but they also have sprouted legumes like lentils and things like that, which are, you know, better for the digestion. And you just have to watch the portion size. So the main thing is to get her blood sugar under control. But those would be better variations or, you know, to have.
And then maybe eventually you can wean her off, you know, because she's not going to give it up tomorrow because you tell her.
Well, she's still, I still have not convinced her to start, you know, checking her blood sugar all the time because she doesn't have the label, you know, any kind of label. And, but I think it's affecting her brain fog and, you know, it's not about her. I don't think it's about her brain medications. I think it's more about her food intake and this carb thing.
You know, the next time she's got, you know, you can, like I said, when we ate that food from P.F. Chang's and, you know, we ate off the gluten-free menu and all that as well. And yes, I get there's cross-contamination, but I was very lightheaded, very brain fogged. You might. Because yes, at some point it will affect the brain. Because like Lisa said, you know, it's Alzheimer's is a form of diabetes.
Do you also talk about how the importance of that you would lose your metabolic flexibility, you know, over time of not keeping the blood sugar in check?
You could. How much is, I don't, like with my ex-husband, I know his brain capacity is very diminished since his TBI. He's a lawyer. He used to be brilliant. The man could talk to you, read something and watch something on TV at the same time and tell you what was going on in all three of them. Used to drive me nuts. So he was well read and now it's like he can't even tell you what he did yesterday. You know? So how much info can you give her that she's gonna absorb? With the guy I worked with, he'd already had some neuropathy because he didn't have a label. And the doctors were like, yeah, A1C of 8's good. You're fine. So he already had the symptoms. And are we going to be able to undo that damage for him? No. We can make it better. We can make the rest of his life better. So he was very open once we've knocked down his walls.
I'll keep working on those walls.
Yeah. But, you know, how much is she going to take in because she's got the TBI?
Well, she tends to forget. So it'll register, you know, to a degree how much I am able to give her, but then she'll forget it in a week or two.
You know, maybe ask and have a conversation with the nutritionist and be like,
Why don't you work on the TBI first, you know, so that there's nutrients for that and then go on from there to blood sugar balance.
Okay. Yeah, that's where the conversation with the nutritionist might be a good idea because she's following her recommendations.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and see if the nutritionist can help support the TBI. There's a lot you can do with nutrients to support there. Has to do with, you know, omega-3 fats and lots of other things. But yeah, there's a lot of support available there.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. Where in the program are recommendations for clean skin products? I don't know that there is one place.
I wanted to know that too, because, you know, to upgrade, I know, you know, a lot of people don't want to give a recommendation of a company, but yet, you know, we do need to have places to go. So even if, but I haven't seen a list. I was going to ask Valerie if she had recommendations, because if we had a list of good products,
you could create that list. You could create that list.
I could create that list.
you know, so like for moisturizers, skin removers, coconut oil is amazing. I use olive oil sometimes. Like if I'm traveling, I don't carry extra stuff. There's lots of choices out there. Make sure it's gluten-free. The app is great, the dirty app. because you can just scan the stuff in the store. And those companies are always changing. Just because they were good last year doesn't mean they're still good this year.
Exactly.
Well, and even products like makeup that says it's gluten-free doesn't mean that there aren't other things in it that aren't good for you.
There's, or at least there used to be, there was a mascara called Sun Coat, and it was made from sugar. My mom made it for her daughter.
Oh.
So with the app, do they constantly update? Because certain brands, you're right, like one product they made may be good, and then the one they come out with later is not, and then that goes on sale. So in using the app, have people seen the-
I don't know how often. I like it. I couldn't tell you how often they update the info.
Go ahead.
So, I mean, like I said, there's lots of options, but just keep, like I used to use Alba Botanicals unscented hand lotion because I can't do a lot of fragrances. And then one day I got the big bottle and was like, and I called them. I'm like, what did you do? Just because it's, she goes, unscented means we don't add scents.
Right.
But if the byproducts have scents or something in them, we can't help that. I'm like, okay, I'm not buying any of your stuff anymore. Thank you. And then I took it back to the store because that's who I am. So it, you know, they don't have total control over, you know, what's in an ingredient, what comes in from lot to lot, especially right now with everything still being out of whack from COVID shutdowns. So I'd call the company and ask would be the best bet.
Yeah. Or
go back to basics. Like I said, go back to coconut oil. It cleanses and it moisturizes. And if you're stuck at an airport, you can eat it.
Wow. what about a soap? Is there a home remedy for that?
There used to be a really good one and then they stopped making it. I'll use Kiss My Face. Sometimes I'll get Dr. Bonner's like unscented stuff. It's reading labels, what's in the store and reading the labels.
Yeah, there's some great suggestions on the chat too.
And if you do the, like Barbara was suggesting, Thrive, they have some clean soaps on there.
I just put about 8 companies that are gluten-free and natural.
Thanks, Martha.
I know, Martha, I just saw that.
I have spent a lot of time researching it, so.
You obviously have this covered.
Yeah.
So there you go. We've got about 15 minutes left before Lisa gets to go to bed.
Oh, Lisa. I want you to be able to go to bed.
I will. So anything else? Comments, questions?
I just want to say that you two did a fabulous job this weekend. Shine was amazing and the whole thing. I just loved listening to what both of you contributed and everyone else. It was a wonderful, conference.
Thank you. Thank you. It's crazy on the back end. That's all I want to say.
I'm sure. Yeah. Anyway.
I know you guys don't see it. And people have been like, well, she just said, I'm like, I don't get to see it. I don't know what she said.
No, I'm going to get her slides and have a look. And then
I understand I used to work TV and the weather was part of the news and people would ask me what the weather was. And it's like, I don't know.
I don't know.
That was the back end. I never got to see that part. It was busy in the background.
I know. You don't.
But you can believe I didn't know the weather.
And when we would work the coaching zone, your only time to go to the bathroom or get something to eat was while somebody was talking. So, you know, you miss it. Have to go back when we get the recording.
Yeah, get the recording and the slides. And then,
like, I wanted to see your presentation, Lisa, but I was at the chiropractor. So.
On Friday. Oh, yeah.
I wanted to see Friday.
That was a long
one. Well, we appreciate all you did, both of you.
Oh, thank you.
Actually, there was the team beyond us really did a lot more than we did, but thank you. And thank you, Michelle, I saw that. We are back end heroes, absolutely. Didn't get a lot of sleep this weekend, I can tell you that.
But you know, Tasha, Kia, Summer.
Oh, amazing.
They're fantastic, really fantastic.
Summer's worked really hard. So I think this is, I did a live shine and then I've done like three online and I've done ERC a couple of times and it gets a lot better, a lot easier, a lot smoother each time. So yeah. And Tasha's just amazing.
Yeah.
Tasha,
I had a problem. It was well organized and everything ran smooth. I didn't see any hiccups in it really.
Yeah, because on the back end, we're all freaking out and it gets handled. So
you I'm sure y'all are.
Has anyone tried the new website?
I've been on it a couple of times, yeah. Have you been on?
Which one? I'm on the old website, so I don't, I neither one, so.
Okay. Did you just, yeah. Well, I think the list is just for new people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But they backed it up some because they haven't done one in a while. So Michelle might be invited. I'm not sure who.
Oh, I definitely need to. I'm just starting.
Oh, then you should be in the group. If not, it's, what is it, Thursday?
I think it's Thursday.
Oh, then you're going to be there.
It's okay. Thursday. So yeah. Are you going, I have to move to the new site in June. So is that what you're going to show, the new site?
It's the new site.
Okay, then I need to come.
It's yeah, fun. I'm on anymember.com instead of the plural.
It's for people that have started. It's people that signed up this weekend. And like I said, I forget how far back they're going on the list. But you would think it's almost anyone that's on the new site because we haven't had any trainings on the new site. So Lisa, you need to play up the new site before Thursday.
Yeah, I've got to look at it. It just changed, on the 22nd at 12 noon central. It's for the, for the people, new people or new to the site, yeah.
I like the new site. It's a lot cleaner, neater than the older one. The beauty of the older one was we could jump around a lot, the cannon more.
Yeah.
I think the succession of all the classes makes sense.
I liked, yes. I mean, yes, I know we still had to kind of go in order, but we did have, you could call Lynn and be like, I need module 24. And she'd like open it and you were only on three. That won't happen anymore.
No.
That's over. That was nice though.
Yeah, it was. But now it's got to go through the modules in sequential order.
When you move to the new site, then does that totally block you out of the old site?
You've got access to the old site until the end of January.
No, but she's right. If she's moving over, I don't know.
So far for me, no, I'm on both.
Okay.
But that made it really confusing because I didn't understand the difference in URLs and I didn't know where I was getting the emails from. So, I mean, I'm kind of like smack dab in the middle. I have a year to go on my program, but I had done nothing on it. So I'm like starting at the beginning. When I say nothing, I had done IRSPT. So that was like most of level one. And a lot of the things I did in ERC, like the grand program and things like that, once I get to it, I just test because I've already studied the material.
But for like IRSPT, there's certification work. Have you done that?
No, I have not. I didn't do any of that because I was a client at the time that I was there. And I know you could do it as a practitioner, but at that point I was just interested in myself. So I can't go back and do that. What I'm having questions about is I would love to see a full syllabus with all of the homework and written materials that are required. I'm used to that being a university professor so that I could prepare, like what are the case studies and how much time does it take? And because if you don't see it until you open it, it doesn't give you that preparation period.
I would send a note to help desk.
Yeah, send a note to help desk.
Barbara, on our collaborators call, Lynn sent that out.
Did she on the new site?
I don't know if it's related to the new one, but
new collaborators isn't this group.
I know, but Lynn Johnson. But that's available.
Martha, private message for that.
Okay, I will.
Thank you.
It has changed anyhow, Martha. Each level will have certification and then the certification requirements, and all of that is being prepared or is nearly available. So you'll be able to have it.
And
I know
two opened for me automatically when I got to the end of one just by passing the exams.
Yeah,
that's how it's going to work.
Yeah. You can pass all the exams, and then there are certification requirements, you know, certain.
That's what I don't understand, what those requirements are. Where is that list? Is it listed in the action steps? Is that where you see it? I don't know where those assignments are.
Lisa, we should look that up and figure it out before Thursday.
Yep. Yeah, because things have moved around because they just changed everything. So things have moved around. And Martha, the certifications that requirements that Lynn sent around, they're not applicable anymore. It's changed. It's only for the old site. So if somebody wants to certify in the old site, then those would be applicable. But
How do I get an invite to the meeting on the 22nd? Will I automatically get one since I'm on the new system, but I'm not new?
I don't. There is a list. I don't have access to the list. I just know this, and I know the email's been completed. I don't know if it's gone out though.
Okay, so maybe I should ask the help desk because I'm kind of like in limbo land.
Yeah, ask the help desk. And I mean, you know, part of it is that there is a change going over, and from what I understand, the old site will be available for a certain period of time for everybody who's been on it. And then after that, it's just going to be phased out. So you've had plenty of time to download the material. It's not going to be kept forever and ever.
No, right. As it breaks down, it won't be fixed. It'll die a death.
Right. Now, she also mentioned something about having access, perpetual access to the new folks joining NEPT. And I was confused about that. I didn't understand what that meant exactly.
When you're finished, I mean, I guess when you're finished, then it's how to access the materials. And I think
that's members, the alumni group.
Yeah, the alumni group.
Okay, so you have to finish it and then you have access to it. Okay, gotcha. That makes sense.
You finish. And then this is how it's been explained to me. Doesn't mean it's not going to change. You complete, you certify, then no, you don't have access. It's not going to be forever access like we used to have. It will stop. Okay. If you want to have that access, you join the alumni group.
Okay. So is that an additional fee, I assume?
Yeah. We don't know what that is yet. Because they can't keep all of us on the server and keep adding new people. So that's why they need to start rolling graduates off. Because it costs them.
How long will the site be up?
What, Jill?
How long will the old site be continuing?
Well, you know, there's going to be an email because right now it's a moving target. And so there'll be an email coming out. And I think we should just wait for the email because if we say something now and it changes, then.
Rita Marie had told me to the end of this
year. Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah, to the end of this year, that's the goal. That's the idea that people had access to the old site. Until January 2022.
Once a person is, because I'm getting closer, once a person is certified, then everything stops. Everything stops.
You can go to the new site and then
once we're certified, like right now, you have the website's always been there. They're going to stop that. When you certify, you're off the website. At the end of your 2 years, you're off, or 9 months, whatever it is, you're off. So when Jill certifies, if she wants to have access, she's going to have to join the alumni group. Mm-hmm. Because it's costing them money to keep all of us on. So
with that, you would get access to the website, but, and you probably don't know this yet, but you wouldn't
get the calls.
You don't get the calls.
I knew that was important to you. We don't get the calls. We cannot do INE office hours. We cannot do case calls, but she will have calls just for alumni.
Something like quarterly calls or something like that.
Okay, so you'd get quarterly calls and the alumni group, the alumni or the website, but you wouldn't get Biocanic and you wouldn't get ODX. Is that correct?
Well, you, Biocanic.
I don't know about ODX, I've asked.
The Biocanic would be your own subscription anyway. You get a discount when you join it. That stays. That doesn't change. You just pay $20 instead of $40, and whether you're certified or not, that's not going to change.
Yeah, Biocanic is between you and them. But ODX, I have asked, and I don't have an answer. What I got was, that's a really good question. We'll get back to you.
Yeah.
So,
And will Master Tracker always work as long as we've downloaded it? Which I have, you know, the copy, it will always function as we know it, even after we've graduated.
That's the whole point, that it's yours, you know.
Yeah, okay.
Now, I can't say how long it'll function or if she changes it. I don't know what happens then.
Well, you can download a copy. You can download a copy.
Yeah, I'm saying, but if she makes a change, I don't know that we, but I don't like it, I don't use it, so.
Yeah.
I always found it awkward.
The whole idea was the Master Health Tracker is your own, right? So you just need to download it or make a copy or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's it.
And so you don't really know when she's going to start talking about this alumni group?
Well, the first thing is that, you know, level one, the new level one, the FAM, the Functional Assessment Mastery, and then getting the new site, everything opened up or finished or whatever, and then sometime this summer we'll probably get some kind of information regarding the old site. Because it's a little bit of a moving target, I would just wait until the information comes, you know, because you have access, nothing will have changed from INE. You have access, the old INE site. So
right, so I'll just keep working on my
Yeah, and it's not been a priority to address that because you have access, but when, you know, but it will change and then you'll be informed in time. So there's plenty of time to download your materials and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But download as you go. Because then you don't
One of the things that I've been concerned about after graduation is because listening to these calls, I learn a lot from listening to the calls, and I'm concerned about that stopping. You know, and not having listening ability, you know, for questions and stuff like that. So
you can download
them now.
Yeah.
Right.
Go get an exterior hard drive and download.
Yeah.
Right, but I'm sure there's new questions that come along, you know. Yeah.
But like you said, it costs her money to keep all of us on her server. So, and actually the contracts we all signed said, I will have access for 2 years. A bunch of us stayed on well past 2 years, me included. I stayed on. I'm like, because where would ask Lynn, where we get kicked off? You're not right now. Okay. So I didn't worry about it. But a lot of us stayed way past our 2 years. So. Yeah. I get that, you know, we got the bonus of all that extra time with her.
Many of us joined. She was adding in as bonuses, you know, for joining and stuff like that, you know, Dr. Tom O'Brien's program and, you know, an introduction into Laura Fine's, you know, work and stuff like that was part of her community.
Well, like I said, you know, she can't carry us all. And that's part of the fee. That's part of the cost that's being rolled into the alumni fee is to give us access back to the server.
Yeah.
Back to the website. So.
Okay.
Anyway, okay. It's bedtime for Lisa.
Yep. It's time. Okay. All right, guys. So if there's nothing else, we're going to sign off. Okay.
All right. Sweet dreams.
Sorry. So much.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.